Hi, everyone. I'm Catherine Fan. I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist, also an adult psychiatrist, and I've also done a residency training in pediatrics today. Thank you, everybody, for coming here. Take time out of your Friday to come to this, I guess, session. So,
yeah, 大家好，我是 Catherine Fan, 范医生。
那我的专长是儿童青少年精神科，还有成人的精神科。那我忘记了。我说很高兴大家今天礼拜五晚上还愿意抽时间出来参加这个讲座。OK， 没问题。那我趁这个时间介绍一下之前讲到我的assistant. Sorry, right, 我忘了。 OK, I'm also going to take some time to introduce my assistant, Ginny Lee. She just graduated from UCLA with a degree in psychobiology, so she has a lot of training in the interplay between biology and psychology.
她刚从 UCLA 的 生物心理学毕业。 那现在正在准备要上 medical school 医学院，是
OK，
这是他的助理呀 ，Ginny。
OK，so what because of the time today, I'm just gonna go forth and start talking about the topic and not spend too much time. If you have any questions, let's save it for the Q&A session.
他现在就开始讲，如果你们有什么问题的话，请在那个 Q&A 就是问题回答的时候再来问他。
Okay. The screen might be a little cut off. I'm not sure what to do. So,
这个 screen 旁边好像的字不见了，旁边的字好像有点
cut off.
可以 adjust 一下吗？
可以吗？
It's okay.
没关系，it's okay. All right. I'm going to start by talking a little bit about the statistic of depression.
他先会讲这个统计学，忧郁症的统计。
To let you guys know how prevalent this illness is, about 5 to 10% of the population is affected over a 12-month period.
忧郁症的盛行率大概是5到10%的人口在12个月里面会有忧郁症的，会受忧郁症的影响。
Which means 1 to 2 out of 20 people.
也就是每20个20人中会有1到2个会受忧郁症的影响。
Which also means in just this group alone, I'm pretty sure we know or work with somebody or live with somebody who have depression.
就以我们来说，我想在座的可能你的 工作伙伴，或是你正跟一些有忧郁症的人住在一起。
About 17% of adults may experience an episode of severe depression at some point in their life.
在一个人的生命中呢，大概有17%的人呢，他会经历这个算是比较严重的重忧郁的影响。
We also know the ratio of women to men that has depression is about 2 to 1.
Yeah, 至于男人跟女人的这个比例是女跟男人的比例是二比一。
And well, I think what's really important, which I want to stress today, is out of the people who meet criteria for clinical depression, only 50% are getting treatment.
他今天想要特别强调的就是说，有这么多人有忧郁症，但是只有 50%， 一半的人会去寻求真的帮助。
Next, I'm going to spend some time to talk a little bit about the difference between sadness and depression.
他要谈的就是说，感到忧伤跟忧郁症的分别。
And I will say in our day-to-day language, we often use sadness and depression interchangeably.
很多时候在我们每一天的日常对话里面，我们常常会说我感到伤心跟我感到忧虑，会把这两个东西好像混在一起讲。
But in reality, when we're talking about clinical depression, it's a very different animal.
当我们在讲临床上的这个忧郁症，其实是非常不一样的。
Let me first focus on sadness, and we'll talk a little bit about sadness. So sadness means feeling down, and it's actually a very natural reaction to painful circumstances.
Yeah, 伤心是每一个人都会有的，那可能是你常会说，我今天情绪很低落，那这是很正常的。
The difference in sadness is that it tends to be transient.
Transient,
it tends to be short-lived.
就是它是很短的，很快就过去了。
And also, most people who have sadness continue to cope with living and go on with their day-to-day life.
即使你会非常的伤心，但是你还是可以过日子，你每天还是可以过的，还是在过你每天要做你每天要做的事。
And oftentimes, these people will really benefit from support and care from the people they love, the people they know.
呀，只要你四周围的人继续对你释出关怀，你还是可以过得很好，过你每天的日子。
So let me next focus on the criteria for clinical depression.
那临床上的忧郁症又怎么说呢？
Oftentimes, when people suffer from clinical depression, they're going to notice changes that's different from their baseline.
有忧郁症的人呢，他会非常的清楚他日常生活中的一些基本的日常行为底线。
可能就是跟他平常的这个有一个明显的不一样。
OK， 跟他平常有一点不一样。
所以他们they're gonna start to notice changes in their sleep. Some people may start to sleep more. For some people, they have difficulty sleeping, and so they're unable to sleep for as long as they used to.
Yeah, 一个明显的不一样就是睡眠的不一样。有人会突然间就睡很久，就所谓的嗜睡。那有人是怎么睡都睡不着。
Next, they also have appetite changes. A lot of people may start to not feel as hungry compared to their baseline. For some people, they start to eat more.
Yeah, 跟他平常比起来呢，他可能就是他的胃口会改变。有的人就会突然间吃很多，有些人就不吃了。
Oftentimes, they also have low energy and poor concentration.
有些人就觉得意兴阑珊，一点力气都没有，一点精神都没有。
One of the very obvious symptoms I often see is a loss of interest in things they used to enjoy.
可能有一个很明显的的不一样，就是他平常有享受的、喜欢做的事情，突然间一点兴趣都没有了。
We're also going to see symptoms such as hopelessness, helplessness, worthlessness, and possibly even thoughts of harming self or other people.
呀，他可能会觉得生活一点指望都没有，觉得无助。然后觉得一点价值都没有，甚至于有可能他会想，他自己就伤害自己。
And the next very important criteria is we're going to see that it's starting to interfere with their daily function.
呀，去影响到他每一天的作息，每一天要做的事情。
And to meet the criteria for clinical depression, it has to last for more than 2 weeks, more days than not, nearly every day.
Yeah, 如果说真的要变成被人家诊断成是临床上的忧郁症的话，至少要两个礼拜。然后大部分这两个礼拜，大部分的日子都觉得很忧郁，虽然不是每一天，但是几乎是每一天。
And so for people who suffer from clinical depression, they will definitely benefit from support and care like we talk about, like people who have sadness. But oftentimes, they also need the treatment.
呀，对这些人来讲，他们不只需要家人朋友的支持，他们也需要一些治疗。
Next, I'm gonna have my assistant Jenny talk a little bit about the different causes of depression, and I'm gonna try to help her translate to Chinese.
Thank you. Okay, so now that we have a little bit of background on depression, we're going to look into sort of what causes depression, what the mechanisms behind it, what we know about depression.
现在我们有一些对忧郁症有一些基本的了解的时候，我们可以讨论一下是什么样的原因让我们有忧郁症。
Okay. So our understanding of depression is that it has two major components, both environmental and genetic or biological.
两个最大造成忧郁症的原因，第一个是环境上的问题，第二个是基因上面的问题。
And we understand this from looking at depressed patients. So for people that are diagnosed with depression, we found that they have experienced many more, significantly more stressful events in the month immediately prior to the onset of the depressive episode than people who are healthy.
当他们研究有忧郁症的病人的时候，他们发现大部分这些病人在他们发病前的几个月都有一些环境上的压力。
And for the genetic component, when we looked at depressed patients, we found that people with relatives who are affected by depression are more likely to have depression themselves.
在基因方面呢，我们知道，当我们研究有忧郁症的病人的时候呢，当我们也看着他，也去研究他的家族的时候呢，大概他有20个百分比的家族也同样有忧郁症的倾向的情况。
Okay, so what Catherine just, Dr. Fan just said is that when we look at a depressed patient and we look at their, we compare their parents, their siblings, their children, we find that 20% of their relatives are also found to be depressed, which is much higher than the statistic that Dr. Fan mentioned earlier, the general statistic of 5 to 10%. And in fact, in identical twin studies, if we study pairs of twins, which are genetically identical in every way, we find that if one twin is diagnosed with depression, there's a 46% chance that their other twin will have depression as well.
当他们做了这个家族的研究，我们讲到他找到大概他的家族有二十个百分比的这个忧郁症的情况，那这跟平常5-10% 是一个明显的增加。那再来呢，当他们研究同卵双胞胎的时候，他会发现如果其中一个双胞胎，他们两个 的基因是完全一样的，如果其中一个双胞胎有忧郁症的话呢，另外一个双胞胎大概有46个百分比的可能性会得到忧郁症，那这跟大部分的 general public 是5-10% 是一个明显的增加。
Further scientific evidence has been found in a more specific biological component when we look at their specific genes. And people who have depression are found to have an abnormality of the 5-HTT gene, which is responsible for transportation of serotonin in the brain, which is a biochem mechanism, which I'll go into detail a little bit later.
那当他们研究基因的时候呢，他们发现这个 5-HTT gene 是有一个不正常的的功能，那这个基因呢，它的工作是运输一个神经传导物质，是 serotonin 在我们的头脑里。那他等一下会讲用另外一个 slide 来解释一下它的这个功能。
So this slide is sort of an illustration of what happens in the brain, and I'll take you guys through the various steps of it.
那这个 slide 呢，会告诉我们一下。这个脑神，我刚才讲到那个神经传导物质是怎么样来怎么样传达它的这个讯息在你的脑子里，怎么传达它的讯息
？And we know that this biomechanism. Let's see if this works. Can we see that? Okay.Cool. So we know that it has this biomechanism because back in the 1950s, a drug was used to treat high blood pressure called reserpine.
他们一开始会发现有这个原因的呢，是在1950年的时候有一个药叫做 reserpine， 它是一个专门控制高血压的药，但是他们发现。
So patients that that were treated with this reserpine, they did have low blood pressure. But after treatment, they found that people who took this reserpine started showing signs of depression in much higher rates than the normal 5-10%.
他们发现呢，吃这个药的病人虽然他们的血压降低了，但是同时他们也发现，吃这个药的病人，他们就产生了忧郁症的这个状况。
And through exploring what reserpine treated, we found that these neurotransmitters are responsible for depression as well.
当他们开始研究这个，为什么这个药会产生忧郁症的状况时候呢？他们开始了解了，脑神经传达物质，传导物质在你脑里面的这个功能。
So for some basic background information, we know that emotions and actions are a result of basically signals being sent through the many different cells in our brain.
I'm sorry. I was looking at the time.
Sorry. Okay, sorry. So we know, we know that, I'll just say it to you.
Yeah, okay.
We know that the emotions and actions are a result of the different connections of neurons in the brain.
我们知道情绪跟我们的这个行为其实是我们脑神经传达物质还有它的功能的一个表现。
So there are three major components for the transduction or signaling throughout the brain.
这里有三个部分，就是这个传达这个功能有三个部分。
So the first important part is this yellow bit called the presynaptic neuron, which is what I'll call neuron A. first
这个第一个部分呢就是这个黄色的你看到的这个脑神经的这个它会叫它 A。
Mm-hmm. And the second one, this green one, is called the postsynaptic neuron, which I'll call neuron B.
那第二部分呢，就是下面看到下面这个绿色的部分，它会叫它B.
And the most important part is the synaptic cleft, which is what I'll call just the space between neurons.
最重要的这个部分呢，就是在你看这个黄色跟绿色中间的这个空隙，它会叫它一个 space. 那这个空间呢？就是第三个部分。
So when neuron A wants to send a message to neuron B, it packages what we call the neurotransmitters into what we call vesicles here.
当 A 要传达讯息给 B 的时候呢，它会需要把这个脑神经传导物质从这个一个 package 送下来。
So then these packages they release these neurotransmitters into this space, and then they cross this space and become bound to these receptors on neuron B, activating a signal so that neuron B will in turn send the signal further down and from neuron to neuron to neuron until you get an action or a behavior or a more tangible outward result.
当他需要传达这个讯息的时候呢，你看到他把这个 package 中间的神经传导物质放到这个 gap 这个 space 里后呢，他会传达给 B， 那这个就是怎么样传达的这个功能，那他会一直一直接下去。
Okay. And in order for the signals to be properly sent down, there needs to be a really specific concentration of neurotransmitters in this space, which is why this space is so important.
想要把这个传达的这个功能好的话呢，就需要达到一个程度的 concentration， 一个密度在脑神经传达物质在这个 space 要达到一个密度，才能够有效的把这个讯息传达下去。
And normally the brain is really good at maintaining a very specific level of concentration, either by controlling these vesicles, or by controlling the number of receptors, or by this reuptake pump, which can sort of take away excess neurotransmitters and put it back into neuron A in order to sort of reuse it or recycle it or just remove it from the space.
平常呢，在我们的头脑里面，它其实有一个很好的这一个系统呢，就是说看它是怎么样把它传达下去，或是它接收的这个 receptor， 不然就是它有一个叫做另外这个绿色的叫做 reuptake receptor， 那这三个的够一起的可以有效的有效的 control 它这个脑神经传达物质的密度。
Okay. However, we found in depressed patients, they have a lower level of this of neurotransmitters in the space, which means they're unable to properly regulate that concentration.
有忧郁症的病人呢，我们会发现他们这个在这个 space 中间的那个这个密度是比较少的。
So to use the drug reserpine, the high blood pressure drug that I talked about to illustrate, what reserpine did in order to lower the concentration was it prevented these sort of vesicles from forming, and so therefore prevented the neurotransmitters from being released into this space, resulting in a lower level of norepinephrine and serotonin. And these lower levels are usually found in depressed patients, although there are a lot of other complex different neurotransmitters and different levels of those involved as well.
讲到我们刚才之前讲的那个药 reserpine， 那它会导致人有产生忧郁症的原因，就是因为它让你的这个细胞 A 没有办法有效的 package 这个脑神经传达物质，导致于你在这个中间的这个密度是比较少的，像尤其两个比较重要的是 serotonin 跟 norepinephrine 的这个 concentration。
So now that we have an idea of how depression works, we want to know, like, we know the beginnings, how it can start. What about the end result? What happens if it goes untreated?
现在我们知道导致忧郁症的原因了，我们可以讨论一下，如果我们没有有效的治忧郁症的话，会导致什么样的结果呢？
So if depression is left untreated, it can negatively impact relationships. It can affect marriages, it can affect friendships, it can affect parent-child relationships and all sorts of important social connections that we have, because people are depressed, they're more withdrawn, they have trouble expressing their feelings and that kind of thing.
如果忧郁症没有有效的治疗的话呢，通常这个病人可能会自己没有跟就自己在自己一个人，然后比较不会跟人家在一起，那有可能导致于他跟朋友的关系、跟家人的关系、可能婚姻的关系都会造成影响。
And depressed people also have difficulties performing in school. They may have trouble going to work because they feel unmotivated, or they may feel like procrastinating because of these depressive thoughts.
有忧郁症的病人呢，通常也会开始没有办法继续在他的工作或是在他的学习上有同样的效果。有可能他没有办法去工作，或有可能他在学校的成绩也会下降。
And in more severe cases, we find that they have an inability to function in day-to-day life. They have difficulty getting out of bed. They can't really feed themselves. They may not take care of their personal hygiene.
更严重的话呢，有很多病人他们开始连自己都没有办法照顾自己了，可能没有办法下床，没有办法吃东西，没有办法洗澡。
Another effect of depression is that it tends to be linked with disorders and issues, and we call these comorbidities. So people can have anxiety, they can develop anxiety, especially in social situations, and they may develop addictions as a form of self-medication or a coping method to sort of escape from these depressive thoughts. So they may turn to drugs, alcohol, or things like overeating, internet, even some people can even get addicted to gaming and gambling and that kind of thing.
3 minutes, reminder.
Okay, quickly. 就不好意思，很快。如果说忧郁症没有好有效的治疗的话，它也可能造成焦虑的状况，或是有可能有的人可以开始吸毒、酗酒，可能或是沉迷，整天沉迷在电脑游戏中。
Okay, and in extremely severe cases, people may have hallucinations, delusions. They may act on their impulses for harming themselves or others. And in severe cases, it can even lead to suicide.
更严重的话呢，有的人开始可能会有幻觉或是妄想症，有的人可能开始会有自我伤害的倾向，或是有时候可能会伤害别人的想法。那当然更严重的，有的人也会有自杀的状况的情况。
So we know suicide is a very difficult topic. It's not a topic that's really talked about, but we need to bring it up because of its prevalence as a leading cause of death, and also its very possible consequence of depression.
自杀是一个我们平常很少讨论的一个话题，但是呢，我们需要来了解它，因为它其实是一个很大的死亡的原因。
Okay, so we know it's the fourth leading cause of adults under 65. It's the third leading cause of death for young adults 15 to 24 after accidents and homicide. And in recent studies, it's actually shown that it's possible to be, it may have overtaken homicide to become the second leading cause of death for young adults. And it's the fifth leading cause of death among Asian Americans compared to the ninth leading cause of death for Caucasian Americans.
在18岁到65岁的这个年龄层自杀是第四大的死亡原因。那在15岁到24岁的年龄层自杀是第三大的死亡原因，但是有可能它可能会变成第二个大的死亡原因。再来呢，我们可以发现在这个 Asian American 的 community 里面呢，这个自杀是第五大的死亡原因，这是比较起来在这个白人 Caucasian American 里面，这是他们第九大的死亡原因。
So we know that suicide is a very real and severe consequence of depression, as well as all the other different comorbidities and other effects of depression, but what can we do about it? And I guess very quickly, Dr. Fan's going to go over some treatments and coping methods that you can use to help yourself or your friends.
Okay. 下一部分我们就要再我再回来讲英文。我们下一步说我们现在知道这个忧郁症是一个很严重的问题，我们该做些什么呢？下来呢first I'm going to talk about you are doing exactly what you should be doing now, which is to really learn more and become more aware about mental health.
下一步要做什么呢？其实就是你们在座的各位正在做的，就是你来这里多学一些关于心理健康的一些议题。
Second, it's also very important that once you recognize you may have some of these signs or symptoms that you need to seek treatment, and this is a very important step.
一旦你知道自己有这些症状的话呢，你要赶快去寻求治疗。
Thirdly, I think it's also very important that for all of us who are sitting here, that we can support our friends and family to get treatment and get help if they need and if they have signs or symptoms of depression.
第三点，他觉得非常重要，也就是你的朋友跟家人要去支持你的朋友，他们有忧郁症的话，去得到帮忙，去鼓励他们得到帮忙。
And next, I'm going to very quickly talk about treatment because I don't have a lot of time. But first of all, I'm going to talk about to get treatment, you need to first find the mental health professional that can help you.
治疗呢，第一步就是去找有关于心理健康的专业人员来帮助。
Second of all, I'll talk about evaluation because I think different healthcare professional may do different type of evaluation.
Yeah, 第二步就是一个评估，而且是从心理健康专业人员来的评估。
So an evaluation done by the psychologist, an evaluation done by a therapist, an evaluation done by the psychiatrist are generally similar, but there might be some minor differences.
心理学家、心理医生或是辅导员所做的评估可能是很相近，可是也有一些不一样。
For example, I'm not going to be able to talk about the other professions, but say in my own practice, as part of my evaluation for depression, I will often do blood work.
Yeah, 像他是个医生，那他如果做这个评估的话，他会抽血治疗。
Just because sometimes there may be certain medical conditions that can come across looking like depression, but may be a manifestation of other general medical conditions.
有的时候是一些医疗状况导致成忧郁症的症状，所以他必须先去来测血验血，看看是不是其他的医疗状况导致你的忧郁症。
And as part of evaluation, which part, this part I think is pretty common among different professionals, is you generally have a one-to-one interview to get to know what's been going on right now.
Yeah, 那大部分来讲都是一对一的这个对话，问话对话的来决定是不是得了忧郁症。
And sometimes we may also, with the patient's consent, we may also speak with their family to get more information.
很多时候我们会征求我们病人的允许，然后跟家人也有沟通。
Next, I think the next step is often to provide the psychoeducation, which means what to basically provide education about the different type of mental illness.
再来就是心理教育，那这个基本上是教育大家有关于不同的心理疾病的一个资讯。
Next, I'm going to very quickly talk about the two major type of treatment includes therapy and medication.
Yeah, 下两个他要讲的其实是最主要的两个在治疗忧郁症的，一个就是therapy.
That therapy 呢也可以sorry, 我又讲错了。Therapy can be individual, couples, family, or group, and it can also be different types of therapy. The more common therapy we use to treat depression includes cognitive behavioral therapy and interpersonal therapy.
Yeah, therapy 可以包括个人治疗这个couple 就是夫妻或是情侣治疗，家庭治疗或是团体治疗，那或是认知行为治疗或是人际关系治疗。
In among medication, the most common first line treatment we use to treat depression is what we call SSRIs, which are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
他讲的什么东西我都听不懂，反正就是 SSRI 那最主要是血清素的，它是针对血清素在做治疗。
And the reason why Jeannie went into depth and tell you guys all the different things about neurotransmitter is just to prepare me for this part, which is that if you look right here, this is a receptor. So a lot of the medication we use to treat depression and also anxietyTarget this receptor. So what it's supposed to do is block these serotonin or neurotransmitter to be taken up again. Therefore, hopefully, increasing the concentration of the neurotransmitter at the junction, at the gap.
他最主要Ginny 要讲的就是其实帮助他现在的解释，所以那个 receptor 就是这叫什么传导物质吗？ block 这个 receptor。
这个 receptor 呢会帮助你不要把这个传导物质呢不要再被收回去，所以呢你的这个传导物质可以
的
它的密度会增高。对。So that's the basis of why we have to talk about this for a long time.
所以这是为什么他要请Ginny来解释，然后其实就是帮助他来解释这个给大家听。
对，那 next, I guess I'll turn it to Ruth to talk a little bit about her experience as a counselor.
Okay, thank you. 我想Catherine 讲完以后的。我跟他们，我们三个大家都松一口气。
I have a breath of relaxation. I feel relaxed.
Okay, 我跟 Catherine 的认识是因为我现在我们都在 Palo Alto， 我租了她的 office。
We are all working in. We rented her office in Palo Alto.
Yeah, 那 Catherine 是14岁就从台湾来美国念书，所以她的中英文都很好。
Catherine came here when she was 14, so her English and Chinese are all very good.
对，所以我觉得我们已经把最困难的部分讲完了。
So we the difficult part is over.
Yeah, 反正所以你们刚刚听的东西是非常的科学。
You just listen to something that is very scientific.
也有 evidence base， 也有数据可以。可以帮助大家的。
And it's also a statistical based.
Yeah, 那以下我要讲的呢，就比较感性了。
I'm going to talk about something very easy.
感性是吧？
感性。对 ，it's very easy. I don't even have a slideshow. 我太简单了，我根本都没有。
She has no slides. So simple.
对，所以我最主要讲的就是说我如何以一个基督徒来看忧郁症病患。
How do I look at depression from a Christian point of view？
我本来以为是 Catherine 要帮我翻译，所以呢，我从来没有把我的讲章这样一个字一个字的写出来。
I thought Catherine is going to translate for her, so she didn't write her notes word by word.
但是我后来觉得叫她这样翻译还是太辛苦了。
So I thought the way she translates is too difficult.
所以我谢谢舅帮我翻译。
You're welcome.
那也因为我写出来了，我可能会照念哈。所以
If I write everything down, then I'll just read from my notes.
Okay, 我想我基本上是一个对人很有兴趣的人。
I'm basically a person who is very interested in other human beings.
我对人讲的故事更有兴趣。
I like human being stories.
所以我对连续剧、对故事非常有兴趣。
So I like those soap opera. I'm very interested in those soap operas and so on.
所以我觉得神在我很年轻的时候就让我有这个感动去做一个 counselor， 我觉得这是很 match 我的 personality。
So that's why the Lord moved me into counseling when I was young.
那我先说我的 counselor， 我的 client 大部分都是来自于保险，还有公司的 EAP， 还有医生转介来的。
All my clients are from insurance companies and doctors and so on.
Yeah, and if your company has EAP, Employee Assistance Program, is very useful too.
如果你的公司有 Employee Assistance Program 的话，对你很有帮助。
对，那他们大部分会来找我的时候，都是他们很软弱无助，然后遭逢他们人生低谷，然后生命在转弯的时刻。
They always come here at their desperate point when they have no way to turn.
Yeah, 那这时候我要做的呢，其实就是一个用心聆听，然后用心陪伴。Yeah, 因为我说过我很喜欢听人家说故事，所以我会很有 patience 的听他说故事。
All I have to do is just listen them from my heart.And to relate to them from my heart, because I love to listen to other people's stories.
所以我其实觉得自己是蛮有耐心的 until 我养了女儿以后我发现其实 我对我 client 的 patient 比养女儿的多
I thought I was a patient person until I raised this girl, this daughter of mine. Then I realized that I'm more patient to my patient than to my daughter.
那我跟我的client 在一起呢，其实我就是陪他们走一段路，然后陪他们一同哭泣。
To deal with my patients, all I do is just walk along them and then to relate to them.
Yeah, 那这个时候我会觉得说圣经的话语很有用。
At this point, I realized that the words from the Bible are very useful.
因为这些来找我的们找我的人呢，他们那个时候心田其实是最松软的时候。
Because when they come to see me, they are at their weakest point.
呀，那神的话语呢，就很容易进入他们的心，也很可以安慰他们的心里。
And the word of God at this point is very powerful and can enter into their heart.
呀，那我的 client base 里面大概有50% 是 believer and 50% 是非信徒。
My client 50% of them are Christians and 50% of them are non-Christians.
那他们也非常的清楚说我是一个基督徒。
And they all know that I'm a Christian.
因为我有三个 office， 我有一个 office 在 Mountain View， 它是 under 这个 Christian Counseling Center， 是一个外国人的机构。那他们都知道我是基督徒。
Because one of my offices is under the Christian Counseling Service, so they know I'm a Christian.
Yeah, 所以神的话呢，我觉得对他们来讲有点像那些要溺毙的人，他们抓到的一个浮木。
The word of God is something that they can grab onto because it will help them.
Yeah, 我觉得那个神的话是可以救人的，也可以，当然是可以安慰到他们。
Because the word of God can save and also comfort.
他可以帮助神的话可以帮助他们跟人很好，也可以帮助他们再回到神面前。
The word of God can solve the human problems and also can bring them back to God.
那当然，我每次看到这样的情况，我觉得我自己受到很大的鼓舞。
And every time when I see results, I'm very, very encouraged.
Yeah, 所以我怎么看我自己呢？我觉得我看我自己是一个神所使用的器皿，是一个流通的管子，
so,
把人带到神面前去。
So I see myself as a channel, as a vessel of God that will bring other people, to God through me.
Yeah, 所以 again, 我觉得我跟我的 client 是与他们同行，与他们同哭。
And I feel my job is just to walk and cry with them.
Yeah, 那我觉得这是一件很神圣的工作，很有意义的工作。
I feel this is a very meaningful and holy accomplishment.
那我当然很感谢神，因为我这个喜欢听故事的这个特性呢，其实神帮助我赋予它新的意义。
Because I praise the Lord that He gave me this interesting interest in listening to other people's stories because that really helped me.
Yeah, 那这接下来就是说，我以一个基督徒的心理咨商员，如果说有一个忧郁症的人来看我，我会怎么做呢？
When a depressed person come to see me, what would I do as a Christian?
我觉得第一个我想讲的就是，我跟普通的心理咨商员有相似之处，也有很不一样的地方。
There are similarities between me and the regular counselors, but they're also different. Very big difference.
首先呢，我们相同的地方呢，就是我呢要做 assessment.
The similarities we both have to make an assessment.
呀，我们一定要做评估，也就是当一个人来看我，我要有这个能力来评估他现在的情况是怎么样。
I need to have the ability to assess what kind of condition is this person in.
呀，那我们是辅导嘛？有人说辅导就扶着就倒啊。
So we are a counselor, so I do counsel, and then he'll be love.
利用。
那我是辅导什么呢？我当然是借由有人说我们是谈话治疗师，那当然是借由谈话，借由观察，或是不同的那个忧郁症的评估表。
So I'm a counselor, so I basically talk and I assess, and then I have a chart that I fill out.
Yeah, 或是 observe. 我想这个 observation 是很重要的。
So
观察，
去观察是很重要的。
对， 那藉由这些呢，我可以来判断我案主的心理状况是怎么样。
Then at that point, I can make an assessment of what is this psychological condition of this person.
因为很多时候他可能只不过是，譬如说被裁员，一时心情低落。
Maybe he was just maybe that person is just being laid off, and he's a little sad or down.
或是说他的 mother-in-law 来探访他，他好受不了，他在一时的情绪低落。
Maybe 他的外母要来like come to see him, and he's a little depressed.
Yeah, 那当然很有的时候他可能真的是严重到他是一个重度忧郁症病患。
Maybe he's a very serious person that is at the verge of harming.
Yeah, 那我当然就要有那个能力来分辨。
So I need to have this ability to distinguish them.
那基本上呢，什么叫做一个重度忧郁病患者呢？也就是他的生活作息受了影响。
What is a serious depressed person is that his life is being affected by this onset.
Yeah, 那可能会拖待一两个星期之久。
Maybe he's depressed for longer than a couple of weeks.
那像这个时候呢，我会要求我的病患赶快去看医生。
At this point, I will I'll ask them to.See a doctor right away.
为什么要赶快看医生呢？医生会给药吃。
The reason to see a doctor is so that the doctor can give them medication.
那他们的病状就会受到控制。
And then they can control their condition.
如果他不看医生不吃药呢，他的思想非常的灰色，看什么东西都是黑色的。
If he doesn't see the doctor and get medication, he will see a very grim outlook of himself.
For example, 如果你今天跟他讲话，你不小心看了旁边，他说：“哎，他怎么没看我呢？”
For example, if you're talking to him and you accidentally look away from him, and then he'll feel, "Why aren't you looking at me?"
或者你出去门没有帮他后一架，他就说：“啊，你瞧不起我。”
Or maybe you didn't open the door for them, and they will feel like you look down on me.
那不管我讲的什么东西，他都会觉得没有用。
No matter what I say, they feel it's useless.
Yeah, 那他去看了医生以后，至少就是说他的情况，他的病症会有好转。譬如说，他可以睡得比较好，他注意力可以集中。
Maybe if he see a doctor, he can concentrate, he can sleep better.
Yeah, 所以他去吃了药，看了医生以后，吃了药以后再来看我们这种谈话治疗师才有用。
So after the medication, then talking to us will be of some use.
Yeah, 否则的话他可能真的一心就只是想死，他满脑子就想我要怎么死会死得比较没有那么痛，死的时候比较没有那么难看。
If not, then all in their mind is how do I die? How do I die so that I look good?
Yeah, 所以还有一个东西我发现中国人常常看到的就是说，有些人他对药物呢，他会希望说赶快吃药，譬如说我今天睡不着觉，我赶快吃药，我吃了药我就能睡了。
Some Chinese have this habit of say, "Oh, if I can't sleep, I'll just take some medication."
那像这种东西，我会觉得说，这样这个药物也太容易去吃药。我个人并不这样赞成。
I don't recommend this just taking medication for any reason.
Yeah, 那还好，我不用开药，我就说哦，好吧，那我转介你去看 Catherine 好了。
Luckily, I don't prescribe, so I just send them to Catherine.
那还有另外一种极端的人，就是他已经很严重，那大部分这种极端的人大概也不会来看我。还有我会看到都是他的家人。
And then they have the other extreme that they are so extreme that they won't come to see me, but I will see, but their family will come to see me.
那这种人呢，大部分都是。曾经看过我们心理就是谈话治疗师还有他的家人好说歹说叫他要去吃药他都不吃药。
This is the type of person that may have come to see us counselors, but they will not take any medication.
那他不吃药的原因呢有几个。
The reason why they don't take medication is because
他上瘾 addiction.
He's afraid to being addicted.
呀然后很怕副作用。
And then they are really afraid of the side effects.
然后怕生活品质受到影响。
And they are afraid that medication would affect their normal life.
Yeah, 那我的看法，我的个人看法呢？我认为说，当你的病，不管什么病，它如果是影响到你的生活作息，还有到你的人际关系。
If the way I look at it is if this disease is affecting your life and your relationship with other people.
你没有办法正常吃饭、正常睡觉，然后也没有办法工作。
You cannot sleep normally, work normally.
那你一定要找个好医生，跟医生密切合作，找到一个最适合你的药，还有这个药量，这个 dosage 也很重要。
Then then you need to see a doctor and you need to come to terms to type the medication, the dose, so that it will work with you.
Yeah, 然后等我发现我的病患他有自杀的念头。
If I assess them and they found out that they have the thought of suicide,
那我可能就要强制执行我的病患马上要入院治疗。
Then I will insist that they need to go into a hospital for therapy.
我现在就有一个 client, 我看他应该是第七年了。
I have a client, this client been seeing me for 7 years.
我看他的时候他是第五次。
And the first time when I saw him, he tried to commit suicide the fifth time.
Yeah, 那对我来讲是非常的,
For me, this is a lot of pressure on me.
那当我也,他也非常的清楚告诉我他的计划是什么。
And then he told me his plan.
那对我们来讲,只要我们的病患他有任何可能会伤害自己的倾向的时候,这里就没有隐私权。
If my client has suicidal thoughts, and that is very dangerous.
Yeah, 那我就会告诉他的家人，也就是他的先生，他有这样的想法，我们要一起帮助他。
And then I would tell his family, like maybe his her husband. We need to work together.
那也因为我是一个基督徒的治疗师，我也会请他签署一份同意书。
Because I'm a Christian counselor, I will also ask them to sign a consent.
就是我需要有一个祷告伙伴，然后为他祷告。I
need a prayer partner, and we need to pray for them.
Yeah, 那我甚至于在他那时候住院的那段时间，我跟我的 prayer partner, 我们也有去医院看他。And
when he was admitted to the hospital, both my partner and myself have gone there to see him.
Yeah, 因为我坚信，神有医治的能力，祷告也有他的能力。
And I firmly believe that God can cure people, and also the power of prayer.
特别是这是一个攸关生命的属灵征战。
Especially this is a life and death struggle.
呀，后来我这个 client 当然他就出院了。那他也跟我讲说，他觉得住院的这一段时间，他觉得蛮好的，他的脑筋至少可以休息一下。
And my client was released from the hospital, and he told me that, yeah, that the period he was in the hospital, at least his mind was clear.
Yeah, 所以我想讲的是，很多人都很怕住院。那住院，我会觉得说，没有像一般人想象的这么恐怖。
Yeah, I just want to share with you that living in a institution is not that scaring.
Yeah, 可能那个病房是很简单，因为他很怕说这个忧郁症病患可能会随便拿个什么东西割自己啊，所以他的病房是非常非常的简单。
The room are very simple because they are afraid that this patient will use anything from the room to cut themselves or harm themselves.
然后一旦呢，这个病情受到控制以后呢，我的 client 再回来，我们当然就可以谈话，就可以有谈话治疗。After
his after he is under control, then he came back and we can start to talk.
Yeah, 因为我当他受过治疗以后，就像刚刚的这些图案，脑筋可以想东西想清楚的时候，我们的谈话才有意义。After
his healing, then his mind is clear, then he can reason, and we can talk in common sense.
Yeah, 那作为一个基督徒辅导呢，我觉得有简单的地方，也有比较困难的地方。
As a Christian counselor, there's an easy side of it, and it's also a difficult side of it.
那不管怎样，我觉得fundamentally 至少要让我的 client 觉得说，他跟我谈话的时候，他是觉得安全的。所谓安全，就是我不会批判他。
My client need to feel safe talking to me because I'm not going to judge him.
Yeah, 还有一个很重要的，我看过蛮多教会的弟兄姊妹，他们很怕说跟教会的人讲，可能这个消息会流出去。那我们的隐私权，我们是得保密的。
Yeah, because a lot of people, they're afraid to talk to other brothers and sisters in the church because this sad news may leak out. So he need to feel confident and safe talking to us.
Yeah, 那我说简单的地方呢，就是因为我们如果说是一个信徒来找我，我们有相同的信仰。
The easy part is if a believer come to see me, we have the common belief.
Yeah, 譬如说对一夫一妻同性恋，身体是神的殿，要保守我们的心胜过保守一切。然后我们是神的形象所造的，也是神重价买来的。我们有救我，有新我。
And then certain concepts are very easy, like one wife, one husband. Our body is the temple of God, and about homosexuality, and then how God can keep us and help us and keep us.
那我会用圣经的经文呢，譬如说立志行善由得我，只是行出来由不得我。
I'll use the Bible verses from the Bible, for example, from Romans. I want to do good, but I can't do it.
Yeah, 所以我就会跟我的案主一起祷告。
你的案主？
我的 client.
Oh, okay. Then I'll pray with my client.
然后我也会用属灵的征战来鼓励我的client 要在神的话语上扎根，穿起全副的金装。
So I'll tell him about the spiritual struggle and how we need to be rooted in God's word.
Yeah, 因为撒旦好像吼叫的狮子，遍地寻找可吞吃的人。
Because Satan is like a roaring lion, he's running around looking for victims.
Yeah, 然后我也会跟他讲，像我这个想自杀的 client， 我就跟他讲说，神他为了你的命，然后舍命，他绝对是把你生命看作宝贵的，他不会要你去自杀，而且你身体是上帝的，是你的身体是神的殿。
I'll impress upon him that God died for you. He doesn't want you to kill yourself. Apart from that, you are the temple of God.
Yeah, 我也会跟他说，撒旦他当然希望你死，然后希望你跟神的关系是破坏的。
Because Satan wants you to die, and he wants to break off your relationship with God.
所以我就会教他要怎么样祷告，奉主的名来让他心里面的这种不好的念头退去。
And then I will instruct him how to pray in the name of God so that he can get rid of this evil thoughts.
那我也喜欢用人的软弱跟人的罪性来形容，就是 client 所经历的一些挫折跟无奈。
I'll explain to him about the weakness of our weaknesses and our sinful nature that will cause us all this type of problems.
那我自己呢，也不会刻意让人觉得说我是一个超人的治疗师。
And I will not tell them that I'm a superwoman counselor.
那我自己也认为我像他们一样，因为圣经说世人都犯了罪，亏缺了神的荣耀。
And I will tell him that I'm just like one of them because I'm just a sinner like everybody else because we have sinned.
呀，那我没有比他们好，只是此时此刻我的工作跟训练装备我可以扶持，不是扶了就倒了那个扶持，我可以扶持帮助他们。
I'm not better than you, but because of my training, I can help you and guide you along.
呀，那这我觉得困难的地方呢，也是我要非常的小心。
And the difficult part is I have to be very careful.
因为圣经的教导是这么样的清楚。
Because the teaching from the Bible is very clear.
我要小心，我不要把它拿来一个枷锁来去批判它。
And I don't want it to use it so that it will be actually an additional chain upon him.
Yeah, 我绝对没有那个资格来定他的罪。
Because I cannot judge or I cannot judge him and condemn him.
Yeah, 免得我把他给吓走了。这样一来呢，我可能丧失了一个黄金机会来帮助一个人来亲近上帝。
Because if I scare him away, then I lose this golden opportunity to help somebody.
Yeah, 那我也会鼓励说，我的 client 要去参加教会活动。
And I also encourage my clients to join the activities in church.
或是查经班，像 BSF。
Maybe like BSF or Bible study groups.
Yeah, 我就常常会有机会打电话介绍我的 client 到不同的教会，就好像在我还没有跟 Gary 认识之前，我就跟他讲过电话。
So I'll introduce my client and I will talk to different churches about to introduce him to different churches. Like before I know Gary, I already talked to him.
Yeah, 我打电话请 Gary 帮助我的一个client。那当然我在做这个事情 again 我常常说我有隐私权，我一定是有他们的允许。
Of course when I talked to Gary, I asked Gary to help me out to help this patient. Now of course before I do that, I'm going to seek the permission from my client.
那多年以后我跟 Gary 真正的见上面，我才发现哦，我们其实在电话中谈过话。那我所介绍的这个 client 也已经念了大学。
And years later when I met Gary, then I realized that we have talked over the phone many times and that my client now has been able to attend college.
Yeah, 那他来了这个教会几年，那这个对我来讲是一个很振奋的事情。
And that client has been with this church for a few years and that is very encouraging to me.
Yeah, 还有一个就是治疗的方法。
And then the method of,
therapeutic
approach.
Yeah, 我在帮助我人的时候，其实我觉得我的 training 让我有很多的工具。
Because my training gave me many, many tools.
所以我看事情呢，的确会用不同的角度，也有不同的切入面。
And then I will use different look at things from different angles and different leads into it.
Yeah, 譬如说在沟通上，我学到很多的技巧，如何跟案主沟通，或是帮助我的案。帮助我的 client 跟其他人沟通
，because I've learned a lot of ways to communicate and to relate，
或是像讲到这个认知行为治疗，我可以帮助我的client 他有一些负面的思想，看到他的负面的思想。
And then because of the training, I can see the negative way that my client is looking at themselves.
譬如说他是想只想改变人，然后自己不改变。
A lot of people they want to change other people, but they don't want to change themselves.
Yeah, 然后他们埋怨上帝。
They always complain about God.
要上帝来成就他的愿望。
And then they want God to fulfill their dreams and their wishes.
或者他过去曾经受过伤害，他没有办法看自己合乎中道。
And maybe he was hurt in the past and he cannot
合乎中道。
They don't see how what's wrong with themselves.
然后一味的迎合他人，取悦他人，这是个 people pleaser。
Maybe he's a people pleaser.
或者他是一个完美主义，黑白想法。
Maybe he's a dreamer. He's a everything
a professionist.
Is professionist.
Black and white thinker.
Black and white thinker. Thank you.
因为开始紧张了。
I'm depressed.
所以呢，我所接受的训练呢，帮助我看行为或是人的思想呢，有更深层的。去找他更深层的原因跟他的意义。
My training helps me to look deep into them.
呀，许多时候的确是人的软弱，也是人的罪性。
Many times it's our weakness and our sinful nature.
但是我相信有更多的时候是这些人曾经受伤害，他们走不出来。
Because there was a lot of times this person was hurt and they cannot get out of it.
呀，所以我的工作可以帮助这些人找出他过去的伤害。
And my job is also to let them.Look at and evaluate how they were hurt.
Yeah, 让他看到这个事情的深层原因，靠主刚强，靠主饶恕。
And let them look at the cause of this, so that they can with God's help and to be strong and brave.
Yeah, 就好像我们常常会上的这种原生家庭对个人的影响。
And we can know how our original family affects us.
呀，那我会觉得说，去评估一个人，去告诉一个人为什么你会是今天这样，都不太困难，只要有时间。
In order to tell somebody what's wrong with them, it's as long as you spend enough time, you can do it.
但是如果说知道了又怎么样呢？生命要怎么去 transform， 要怎么去蜕变？我觉得要怎么成为新造的人呢？我认为这个时候一定要有圣灵的帮助。
And how to become once you know it, then how do I change? How do I become a new person? Well, that needs the will of God.
Yeah, 所以有些个案对我来讲呢，只要有一些提示帮助，他们生活就可以恢复正轨，恢复跟上帝的关系。那我觉得这是最好的。
Sometimes some little hints I can give them can help them become normal again. That is one of the best.
那这些人可能不会再回来找我帮忙，但是这些人有时候过年过节的时候会给我一个 email， 会打个电话给我。那我这个就 they make my day， 我就整天会很开心。Yeah.
Maybe they will. My best hope is that they don't have to come back and see me. But when they give me an email or give me a call, that make my day.
Yeah. 那还有一些人就是他们。回来看我，他们来看我情况好转了，那他们就停了。
And some of the people once they become better, they will stop coming to see me.
当他们在遇到一些生命的关卡，他们就会再回来看我。
And if they face another major hurdle in their life, they'll come back to see me.
那有一些人呢是长期的治疗，像我现在就看了我就有两个 client， 我已经看他们五年以上。
And some people, they need long-term therapy. When, like two of my clients have been seeing me for 5 years.
所以在我看来呢, 这些人, 他们对自己的生命负责。
And I can see that if we take up the responsibility for our own lives,
让他们活出一个真正有欢笑, 有眼泪, 有高山, 有低谷的生命。
And if we can live a, if we can love with our life, cry with our life, and we can go with the ups and downs of our lives.
所以我觉得这是一个很好的榜样, 是很值得学习的。
This is the best way to best example and best way that we can deal with it.
所以身为一个基督徒辅导员呢, 我感谢上帝，他帮我看出到，帮助我看到人的软弱。 看到软弱的人如何在挣扎时遇见上帝。
And as a Christian counselor, I can see that how a person go through his weakness and how he can see God through their weakness.
然后他们也更认识上帝是个又真又活的上帝。
And then I realized that our God is a life and living God.
那他的能力真的是在人的软弱时显大。
And his power is manifest in our weaknesses.
那我也学到神做事有他的时间表，万物有定时。
And I know that God has His timing, and everything has His time.
只要紧紧抓住上帝，常常在主里面。
And if all you have to do is hold on to the Word of God, and always be in Him.
这样生活才有圣灵所结的果子。
And then we will have the fruits of the Spirit.
谢谢。
Question and answer.
Oh. 再下来是开放这个问题回答的时间。
Now is question Q&A, question and answer.
你可以用中文、国语来问, 你也可以用英文来问。
You can use any language.
你用中文来问的时候呢, 我就请一位讲员来帮你回答。
And then whatever the one of the speakers will try to answer.
你用英文来问的话呢, 有劲就请一位讲员来回答。 Okay. 那么我们现在开始，那么在后面，有另外一支的麦克风，你可以来使用。
We have microphones.
Hello, hello. I would like to know what are the side effects of when taking medication.
The 吃了药的副作用。
我讲英文吗？
Any language you want.
说到药的副作用呢，我没有办法完全的回答你，因为有很多种不同的药。那请不知道你有没有特别一种药你想要问的呢？
Yeah. Because there are many kind of medication and there are different all kinds of side effects. So, do you have a particular brand of medicine you're talking about?
Cymbalta.
Cymbalta.
So basically, I will say most. So maybe let me just take a step back, because Cymbalta is just like a very specific medication. But what I can do is I can tell you about most of the medication we use to treat depression. I mentioned SSRIs. These are medication. The name includes Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, Lexapro, Celexa. So that's the most commonly used medication. Followed by that, our second level of medication we often use are what we call SNRI. So SSRI targets serotonin.
actually, 不用，因为我已经 I'm gone. I'm gone.
Wow.
他讲的是他有第一类的药就是 SSRI 那么他就是那几种他讲的那几种那么他现在就讲到又第二层的药就是说我
usually when people come to you with depression we often start with SSRI first
他会如果人有病的话他来见我他就会用第一层的药就是那几种药
SSRI 第二层的药 the second thing that I've tried, some generally if a patient has tried at least a couple SSRIs and either it doesn't work for them or they have a lot of side effects, we then will go to the next level, which what we call SNRI, so target serotonin and norepinephrine.
通常一个是因为他们用第一层的药，他们有很多的副作用，还是有可能无效，他们就会用第二层的药，就是 SNRI 的药。
SNRI 的药呢, 就会 include Effexor 跟 Cymbalta, 所以这样子可能大家就有一个 basic 的 understanding about the treatment of depression.
所以他就是跟我解释一次，就是第一层的药不行，他才会用第二层的药。
And the most common side effect we see with SSRI includes generally nothing very serious, but when patients first start these medication, they can experience some discomfort in their stomach. They may feel some stomach ache. They may have some constipation, diarrhea, appetite changes. This is the most common side effect.
通常那个副作用就是他们会觉得到了胃不舒服，有时候会拉肚子，有时候是不能去厕所。
便秘 oftentimes these side effects will go away after a month. The reason being that you have serotonin receptors in your brain, you also have serotonin receptor in your intestinal tract. So while your brain's serotonin level is changing, your serotonin level in your gut is also changing and adjusting. And that's why in the beginning, you often experience some discomfort. But the good news is these side effects tend to go away after the first month.
它这种副作用通常一个月之后就会没有，是因为它抑制了你的头里面的东西，也可以抑制你的胃啊，你的大肠里面的东西。就它这个神经传导物质在你的头脑里面也有，在你的这个
internal tract
里面都有的。对，所以你就要让你的身体
adjust to 这个 level. Other than that, there are also some side effects. Some people may experience headaches. Another common side effects are sexual side effects.
他们还有其他的副作用，就是头痛跟性上面的副作用。
So it all, when we are using medication, it's often a balance between risk and the benefit profile.
我们通常用药要看它的 risk, 它的
等于就是看你要看它的这个副作用跟它的作用比较起来的话，现在最需要的是什么？OK. And then I will say this is kind of sidetracking a little bit, but in different age group, antidepressants also have different side effects.
另外，你的年在你的不同的年纪，这种药有不同的作用。的副作用。副作用。
For example, in the elderly population, some people may experience what we call hyponatremia. It's basically changes in the level in their sodium for the elderly population.
对年纪大的人，他们有一种副作用。
就是可能他们在他们的这个，你帮他验血的时候，他的 sodium level 可能会比较低，所以在这个年龄层，如果我用这种药的话，就会比较需要检查他们的验血。And another group that I often work with are the children and the teenagers and the young adults. So the SSRIs actually carries a black box warning in this age group.
他另外他帮年轻人的，好像小孩子跟年轻人，那么在这个年纪的人中间，这个药有一个很大的危险。
比较大的这个副作用。 So in this group specifically, there is an increased risk of possible. It is possible increased risk of suicidal thinking in this age group.
在这个年纪的人，通常他们很有可能有自杀的趋向。
我解释一下好了。我解释一下，我说在这个 age group 里面呢， 用这个药说我们要特别小心，因为我们要解释给他们跟他们的家人知道有一个 possibility of increase in suicidal thinking， 可能会增加你想要自杀的念头，有可能。那他们的这个 difference 是说，如果 baseline 是一的话呢，他可能会把它增加 1%， 那可能会把它增加到 2%， 所以这样子还是 important enough about a possible up to 2 times increased risk， 就是有可能两倍的增加。那所以呢，最重要的就是说我们要开始这个药的时候都会跟这个病人跟他的家人解释，如果你有这个想法的时候呢，有可能是药的副作用，所以一定要赶快跟你的医生或是联络。
If you have an increased thought about suicide in this age group, the youth and the teenagers and the children, I usually explain in front of themselves and their family, so that in case you have this type of thought increases, then you need to inform the doctor right away, maybe caused by the medication.
So these are kind of like the more common side effect in general in terms of most antidepressants, all the one I talked about, the SSRIs and the SNRIs.
这个就是 SSRI 跟 第一层的药的副作用，大部分都是这样的。
那在sorry, just to add, in SNRI, usually there might be a possible increase in blood pressure as well.
在第二层的药了嘛，你可能你的血压会增高。
Because of the additional effect of norepinephrine.
因为它有加了一种这种药。
这个的。
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
I hope that answers your question.
Okay. All right. Why am I still here?
Stay there, John.
Next question.
怎么样预防？有没有预警的信号？就说我们知道这个最重要是希望能有预防的措施，就说我挺担心我自己得抑郁症的。
How do you prevent depression, right? Yeah.
OK, 我请陆子先回答好了。
如果说要怎么预防，我想就从他的 cause 来讲，因为他可能是有基因嘛，也可能有环境上嘛，对不对？那我们就讲，如果是基因的话，
The cause could be either hereditary or from the environment.
如果说你看你的家属里面有人有忧郁症的话
，If you see a family and there are a lot of depressed people.
那当然你自己就要很小心，譬如说在你有压力的时候，
Then you need to be very careful whenever you face situations of pressure.
呀，特别说是在对小孩子来讲的时候，可能就是早教功课的时候啊。
Like for your kids, maybe it's when they have to turn in their homework.
呀，或是跟男女朋友 break up 的时候啊。
When they are breaking up with their boyfriend or girlfriend.
然后或是年轻人可能就是到了念大学的时候，可能也是呀，就跟工作有关系，就是 deadline 快要到了。
Maybe when they are going to college and there's a deadline for their essay or whatever.
呀，或是没有男女朋友 break up 了，分手了。
Yeah, or breaking up of a relationship.
呀，反正就是 stressor， 或是你的 life transition 有小孩了。
Or during times of transition, like you just have a kid.
Yeah, this is environmental 的原因。那在这个时候，你就要特别的小心，因为可能面临压力的时候，你就比别人容易，会有 depressed 的 symptoms.
So you need to be careful whenever this type of life changing situation because those are the onset of that can be the onset of your depression.
然后就讲到基因。大部分基因来讲呢，the onset of depression 很多时候会是在 teenager 跟 young adult 的时候。
And if it's a heritable problem, usually show up more profoundly when you are a teenager.
或是你遇到 life stressor， 你没有工作的时候。
Or when you are facing a life stressing situation like you lost your job.
那像女性来讲，可能maybe menopause 或是产后忧郁症。
maybe for women, it could be menopause or you are postpartum
depression.
After you have a baby, postpartum depression.
Yeah, 那刚Catherine 也讲到，像老人可能吃了药物的相互作用，或是吃了什么药，他的 side effect 可能也会让他有 depression 的。The symptoms.
For senior citizens, it could be because other medication that can cause the start of depression.
所以总而言之，怎么 prevent 呢？
那 how do you prevent this?
就是你知道，就是你要知道自己的情况。
If you know your personal situation,
你的 life, 你的 family history,
and you know your family history,
那知己就是你要认识这个 depression, 你要有这个病逝感。
And then your 病逝感。
病逝。Yeah, awareness of this illness.
Oh,
what kind of symptoms?
You need to be aware of this. Yeah, the symptoms of the depression.
Yeah, 我想知己知彼。Yeah, 那当然我们有信仰。Yeah, 这是一个全人的哈，你的身心灵是不是在一个 good condition?
And anyway, she's going away. Oh, good.
我每次都不知道要怎么讲。那我可以补充一下刚才 Ruth 讲的，他刚才讲到很多，当然就是说知己知彼，他没有讲到百战百胜，但是就是比较，然后你要知道这个病，就是说大家现在learn about the awareness， 那另外一个就是知道自己。那他刚才讲 Ruth 讲到很多你知道就是在比较特别的时候关卡的时候你要特别注意。那我想要补充的是呢，我们如果看着它 as 一个protective factor 跟 risk factor， 那我们就可以来一个 balance。就是说我们之前刚才讲到都是 risk factor 像是 family history last stressors， 那这些是 risk factor。那刚才这位先生讲的可能说，那我怎么样增加我的 protective factor？那 Ruth 刚才讲到一个很好的一个，就是我们知道 spiritual support 是一个很重要的一个，这是一个 one。所以说如果有弟兄在教会有弟兄姐妹的支持，这是很重要。另外 protective factor 也是 family 或者是 support system， 你的朋友、你的家人，那也都是你的 support system。那除了这个之外呢，他之前 Ruth 有讲到的正面思考，如果你在你平常生活都还很顺利的时候，你都可以常常practice 你的这个正面思考的话，你在你比较困难的时候也比较容易，就是说你平常就是一直都负面思考，你在难关来的时候也同样会以负面思考来面对。那你平常就是以比较乐观正面的方式来看待人事物的话，你在难关的时候也比较容易以正面的方法来看。那除此之外，不好意思，
It's okay. It's okay.
If most people understand Chinese here, right?
No, we do have people who do not understand.
Oh, I see.
But she was talking about the method of positive thinking, the method of a very good supportive system, either from church or from family, and also be able to recognize whenever there's a stress coming, and to create more positive thinking, and that will all help.
Yeah, and so, 如果你要增加你的正面思考的时候，可能在平常的时候，你就可以多读一些怎么正面思考的书，因为有的人，这个我也是知道，有的人天生他就比较容易有负面思考，那可能也是有一点，可能是他生长的环境或是他的这个 genetics。那有的人天生就容易正面思考，那如果你平常就很习惯负面思考的，不表示你就一定会这样，你还是可以试着改变，从可能是 therapy 或是从 self help book 里面可以找到怎么样正面思考。另外我要讲到一个biologically 也可以增加你的 protective factor 的，就是如果你可以在平常的时候都可以注意这下面几个事项，那你也可以增加你的增加你对忧郁症的抵抗力。如果你有很好的睡眠是一个很重要的，很多时候我们都没有注意到睡眠其实在我们的情绪跟我们的行为上是扮演的很重要的角色。再来就是 睡眠以外呢，再就是你的均衡的营养。那我们知道 omega-3 fatty acid 如可以帮助我们调整我们的 mood。那如果说你平常饮食都很不正常，那就当然也会对你的情绪造成影响。再来呢，如果我们可以 ，yes。So the food that has omega-3 fatty acid includes salmon, and I like to stress wild salmon, and walnut, flaxseed. 通常 这些大概就是 So these are the food. So 有均衡的营养
So she talked about biologically, we can have, we need to have a lot of, we need to have enough sleep, we need to have a balanced diet, and she talked about omega-3 type of food like salmon, flaxseed, walnuts. Those are also will help. The balanced diet, a good, a normal, good enough sleep will help our biologically against depression.
Also, 我会讲到是如果说你像 alcohol 啦、酒啦，或是一些毒品啦，这些都是尽量要 stay away 的，因为这些也会影响我们的情绪。
And also, of course, drugs and alcohol will be detrimental and hurt us.
And for some, caffeine can actually make us feel more anxious. So, depending on your body type, you know, you may want to watch how much caffeine you take on a regular basis.
Even 咖啡因可以影响你，所以就有些人来讲，你。咖啡因也应该少一点。
Lastly, 我们知道适当的运动其实对我们的这个我们的情绪是有很大的帮助。
And lastly, exercise is also very important in this fight against depression.
所以这样子就是这些可以增加我们 protective factor 的这些方法。
Yeah, all these are things that can help us to increase our defense against depression.
Okay.
Time.
Oh, 请问。
我有两个问题，第一个就是。这个药如果治 depression 可以治愈吗？还说只能是把这些症状暂时 hold 住，就说没办法完全治愈，变成一个正常的人。那第二个问题就是说，这个 depression 到底跟精神病有什么？它会不会发展变成精神病？
And、
要住到精神病院那样？
Her question is: the medication does it just stop the symptoms or can it cure it? And secondly, what's the difference between depression and mental illness?
请 Catherine 来回答。
So I'll answer the first question first. So what we do know is depression tend to be cyclical.
他说这个忧郁症是有循环性的。
So it's possible somebody may only have one cycle of depression in their life, where other people may have recurrent.Episodes.
有些人可能他人生只有一次会有这个忧郁症，但是有些人他们的忧郁症是循环的，周期以来的。
那generally, if you have you know family history of depression, a lot of people in your family with depression, and you start to have experienced depressive symptoms when you're younger, it's.Possible and more likely, you know, in the future of their stressors that you could have recurrent episodes.
如果你家里面有这个基因的话，如果你年纪轻的时候已经有这个忧郁症的话，你到你年纪大的话，遇到人生的艰难的时候，你也会有这个忧郁症。
不一定会，可是也有比较有的可能性比较高。
Yeah, the possibility is the statistically is higher to have a depression.
Yes. So what I can do about when you ask about medication, and yes, the goal of treatment is always complete resolution of your symptoms.
他那个用药，他的主要目的是希望他能够把你的病治好。
So. usually what we can do is we measure some of the stuff we talk about, the changes in your sleep, restoring your function, restore your energy, concentration. So typically we will monitor you and hopefully can use a medication to have complete symptom resolution.
我们希望是我们知道你睡眠啊，其他的那个忧郁症对你的影响。那么用了药之后，你的睡眠又好了，吃东西也好了，脾气又好了。那就希望用那种方法来知道你的病是不是好了还是没有。So
I guess in that sense, I can see my goal is to completely cure the depression.
我们的目的是。 把你的忧郁症完全治好。
But there are some patients, if their depression is very severe and or we try several different medications, either they have side effects or it's just not as effective, we'll still try to at least achieve symptom reduction.
有些人他们可能那个副作用太强了，他们这个药好像没有。 这个我们还是希望见到你的睡眠可能比较以前好了一点啊，从那有进步。
And I will say in my patient population, generally we're able to achieve complete symptom resolution.
All your clients?
I shouldn't say. You want a card? No, I'm just kidding.
Give me your card.
No, I have to. What I can say is generally in the people I see, but I have to say, in different settings, you see different type of patients. I'm an outpatient provider, so typically I see patients with more moderate to mild symptoms. A lot of patients with very severe recurrent symptoms, they may be on a, you know, going to a different program. Like they have partial program, they have hospitalization. We don't have state hospital anymore. In the past, when we had state hospital, these people stay for a year. So typically different patient with different kind of symptom resolution. I would say most of the time, patient can achieve symptom resolution. And then that will usually lead to another question. Do I have to stay on medication forever? And the question is usually no. So this is the first time you have depression and, you know, we're able to achieve complete symptom resolution. And then we try to keep you on for, you know, maybe a year or so, 9 months to a year, just to make sure you can acquire enough skills. At that time, we can consider take you off. For some patients, when we try to take them off, they start to have problems or difficulties again. And in that case, you may need to stay on medication longer.
他刚刚讲就是他的病人大部分都是完全好的，另外他也强调是他看的病人是比较轻微的病人，所以另外他就说通常吃这个药，他会给你通常是9个月到1年，如果你通常那个人就不用再吃这个药，但是如果你这个病又发了，那么他就会再给你吃这个药。
And I've also seen some people, maybe they have depressive episode that was treated, completely cured 10 years ago, but it's possible that and for 10 years they were doing really well until later that they have another episode. So, you know, it's hard to say what somebody's, you know, history is going to be like. It's hard to say.
有些人他们10年才发一次，所以每个人都不同。
And there are some people, you know, maybe they only have one episode and that's it. So that's hard to know. But then that's get back to what we talked about. If you can increase your protective factors, that's going to help protect you to prevent recurrence.
所以他说，如果我们能够把我们那个坚强起来，就好像我们的我们很多东西可以坚强起来的话，那就会很有帮助。
Okay.
How about the mental illness thing?
Oh, right. The second question was, what is depression? Is depression a mental illness? So, yes, I will say depression is considered a mental illness. A mental illness is so broad. Generally, we talk about mood disorders, which includes depression, bipolar. We talk about psychosis. That includes schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorders. We can talk about drug and alcohol, addictions, eating disorders, anxiety disorders, but these are all under the big umbrella of mental illness.
他说，严格来讲，这个忧郁症是精神病的一种。
But like I said, even though we have so many different types of mental illness, depending on the severity, the treatment could be very different. Some people may have depression and never have to go to the hospital.
他说，看你的状况怎么样。有些人他们有忧郁症，但是他永远不用去医院里面住。
就看 like see somebody like myself, like an outpatient provider, get on the right medication, and they're okay.
他们只要来看我，吃一点药就可以好了。
And I would say actually most of my patients have regular jobs or are in school getting good grades.
他大部分的病人都是他们都在工作，另外他们有很多是大学里面念得很好的。
So it just really depends on the severity. But there are some people who have very severe depression who may have to go to the hospital.
如果严重的话，你是要去医院的。
我有的问题是就是关于说如果我们身边我们发现有 depression 的病人，我们应该怎么样去 approach 他，就是说在怎么样的情况譬如说我一个 example， 如果说我身边有个 depression 的病人，我知道他现在在 depression， 我应不应该在这个时候去 approach 他，然后去就说哦，来来来，我们出来走走，我应不应该用这样的方法，还有这个 depression 病人在怎么样的 situation 我必须要 report 给相关的机构，因为刚刚这个Doctor 有讲到说如果严重的话需要就是说需要 report 出去，所以就是说可不可以给我们这些就是照顾 depression 的或者说我们身边有 depression 的朋友，我们怎么帮助他？这方面给我们一些咨询。
And her question is, if I have a depressed friend or relatives, how should I approach them? At what point should I report them? And what should I do?
请 Roof.
Roof. 我很快就讲完，因为我想 Kathleen 可以回答。我很快讲完。我觉得你所做的，我都不晓得那个谁问的。你做得非常好，你陪他出来走走，可能你煮饭给他吃，你陪他聊天，这个就是 Catherine 刚刚讲的一个 support system， 这个是最好的，那我觉得这也是教会最 strong 的。
And she said this is if you can take a walk with them, help them, support them, and that is really help them, and that's why the church is so important on this issue.
那至于他什么时候 quote and quote 要 report
at what point do you have to report？
其实讲到 report 好像是我们这一行需要 report， 你这个朋友家属我想可能是什么时候要赶快带他去 医院。那这个我想 Kathleen 可以回答。那我自己个人觉得说，如果他平常你跟他在一起，他还可以陪你出来走走，那这个还不错。但是如果说他的家人告诉你，哎，他最近好像一直卧床，早上也起不来，也不吃东西，然后还有我有一个 client， 他是postpartum depression， 他是产后忧郁症。他的先生告诉我，他的眼神，太太的眼神告诉他，他的太太不行了，因为他说他太太的眼神是无助、空洞，而且他太太会躲到 closet， 会躲到那个衣橱里面去，
房间里面，
不是厨房 ，OK， 是衣橱里面就不出来了。那这个绝对是一个 big indicator， 要赶快带他去了。我想我就讲那么短，因为我把时间给 Catherine。
So her point is, if you can take a walk with them, that's very good. Of course, the church is a very, very strong supportive system. But if he's one of her clients, he was saying his wife is like she's totally empty. There's nothing in her eyes. Now that is very serious. We need to bring her to the doctor. And her point is to report is not your job. It's the doctor's job. But our job is to bring them and help them to see the doctor.
Catherine, 你要补充吗
？Catherine, Well, I think Ruth brought a really good point, which is the support and the love that you know you can provide to your friend and family. And I also agree with her, you, like, family and friends' job is not to diagnose, to say, oh, whether or not this is what it is. The family and friends' job is to support and to help them seek help. So, you know, if you're really concerned about your friends or family, really the first step is to see if you can help, have them see a mental health professional, somebody like a therapist or a doctor.
他的意思就是我们最重要是能够支持他们爱他们帮助他们如果我们能够帮助他们那是最好的就是另外take
them to see somebody in the field
带他们去看医生鼓励他们这是很最重要的
Because a lot of time patients who struggle with this condition are also very ashamed and feel guilty about having this condition.
他们有些觉得这是很丑的事，所以他们不想别人知道。
Like for example, my guess would be a person diagnosed with cancer might be a lot more willing to tell other people than a person who might be suffering from depression.
好像那个有癌症的病人，他可能更会跟你分享他的癌症，但是一个忧郁的人，他不会跟你分享他的忧郁症。
And therefore, losing out on a lot of opportunities to have people praying for them and get the support and the treatment they need.
因为如果是这样的话，他就你就没有办法。 要别人为他祷告，为他支持他，鼓励他，帮助他。
So the important thing is to help them to get treatment from a mental health professional. But I will say, if for the following condition you're very concerned, then you need to take them to the nearest emergency room or call 911.
当然是医生的责任，但是如果你见到下面的病状的话，你可能就要打911。
Say if you feel like this person is an imminent danger of hurting themselves.
好像这个人好像就要去自杀，这个是一个很重要的。
Or if they're in imminent danger of harming others.
可能这个人也不是自杀，但是要伤害另外一个人的话。
And or if they're just not taking care of themselves at all.
可能他没有办法照顾自己。
For example, some people may not have drink or ate for days.
可能他们已经很多天没有喝水，没有吃饭。
Then they need to be evaluated and be brought to an emergency room.
那么他们要把他们带到去这个911的急症病房。
And sometimes if you're not sure, you can still take them to the emergency room because it is the doctor's responsibility to help determine the level of severity.
虽然你不知道，但是你可以带他去那个病房。那么医生他们会诊断他。
And then give them resources if, and referral if needed.
他们有地方去帮助，有地方把他们有方法来帮助他们。
Okay.
Let's give him a hand. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Fan.
谢谢,
and Ruth and Virginia and Joe, thank you. You deserve an Oscar. All right. I hope this is, this is not the end of our conversation and our discussion on mental health. I hope that we can be a church, brothers and sisters in Christ, who can support each other and use the available tools of health professionals, of our Bible studies, of the Holy Spirit to help each other out in all areas of life, especially in mental illness. So let's close our evening in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the evening that we can have a chance to discuss this topic. I think we all know and have been affected by this mental illness of depression. We pray that, God, that you would give us mercy and that you would give us help, that you would help us to be brothers and sisters in Christ who can offer encouragement, support, and leading people to mental health professionals as well as providing spiritual support and prayer. God, we ask that that you would help us to be a church of prayer and a church of that looks to you as our ultimate hope and in life. And God, we thank you for the evening that we can spend this time to do this. And we ask for your guidance and help in going forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.